Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
Come on, glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 2. Just to introduce it, all right? Then Nisi, you'll sing, "You are holy for me." 1 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1. Look at this very quickly. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all filthiness and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings," the Bible says, "as newborn babes." Come on. Okay. Say it with me. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's say it again. 1, 2, 3, go. Now, that means that there are certain things you can only do as a newborn babe. The real problem you have with this scripture is that in your discipleship class, they told you that milk was for spiritual children. But the Bible didn't say that milk is for spiritual children. It said that you must arrive at the place where, like newborn babies live entirely on milk, you must live entirely on the Word of God. You cannot mix the Word of God and anything else. The moment you do it, you will arrive at what verse 7 of this scripture calls a rock of offense. Okay. Do you understand it? That's how people become offended in the Word of God. So as newborn babes desire the pure milk, the only milk of the Word of God, that you may grow thereby. So the stuntedness of your growth is because you are trying to mix the Word of God with a philosophy that does not come from God. Does it make sense to you? Come on, come on, come on, GCC. Does it make sense to you? You are trying to force the Word of God to agree with your philosophy. Right? And the Bible says you can only do it if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That's verse 3. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That means the only way you can receive the Word of God and the Word of God alone is by agreeing in your mind that the best version of me that can ever manifest cannot be born by the philosophies I'm holding tightly onto. So I must let go of those philosophies and decide that only the Word of God will govern my life. I told my people one time, I said, listen, if Satan at the very least brought your temptation with scripture, rejoice. Wait. He said to Jesus, "Jump down, for it is written." That means at that point, he knew that the only way he can get Jesus to do something is to show it from the Bible. Even if he's twisting the Bible, you understand it. At least let it be that Satan knows that he cannot get you into deception until he flashes the Word of God. That kind of temptation, even if you fall for it, rejoice. You have grown a little. Even hell has acknowledged that if it's not in the Word of God, you cannot do it. I wish you heard me. If so be that you have tested that the Lord is gracious, then he told you how to approach the Lord, to whom coming as unto a living stone. Verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone. Then the next thing he said concerning that stone is you must understand that that stone, by reason of men's experience, their fall, their culture, their philosophies. Listen, that stone, I thought you loved this verse 4. But verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone. Read the next statement. 1, 2, 3, go. Everything about the culture of men does not embrace the Word. See, if the Word of God supports your culture, you just interpreted philosophy into the Word. Because part of the things you want to do is, many times people try to justify. How many of you hated morning devotion when you were growing up? How many of you hated morning devotion because that's where your father used to get you to do what he wants you to do? And that the common scripture in morning devotion was, "Children, so that this may be long." And you know that that devotion does not enter into the next verse, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." It never arrives there. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so somehow your father felt like he had found. Complete it. When you see me turn around like that, it means you should know the rest of the talk. So your father thought he had found something that he can use to get you to do what he wants you to do. And many times what he's asking you to do, especially if you were born again like me, was actually outside of the order of divine things. disallowed indeed of men. But that thing that your mind is fighting is what is chosen of God and precious. Can you see? Or you believers, can you see it? Listen, let me tell you how much God has made a choice in his word. God cannot, I did not say he will not, he cannot bend the principle of his word to adjust to you. He becomes unholy, unjust to adjust the principle of his word to catch up with you. It is chosen of God forever. Oh God, your word is settled in heaven. Do you understand it? So advise your mind first to be humble. Do you understand it? Let it be that every time you hear, now we've come unto you, Lord, we have come. Let there be something about you that just goes, Lord, by your spirit you've drawn us to you. Lord, we come. How do we come? With hearts open wide unto you. Speak your word and glorify me.
Jesus be glorified.
Hold it, guys. No, we will pray it all. I'm just telling you that in your best interest, let your heart not fight the eternal truth of the word of God. Because all you are doing to yourself is that you are slowing down the process of your arrival at what is written. What God has written concerning you is sure. He cannot change his mind. But the guarantee that it will come to pass is not with God, it's with you. And the solution is yieldedness. Aye. So verse 5 said, you also as lively stones are being built up and spiritual house and holy priesthood, chosen to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God by Christ Jesus. Then verse 6 said, wherefore is it also contained in scripture. Here 6 and 7 and I stop. I can go on, but let's stop there. Wherefore it is also contained in scripture, behold, I lay a cornerstone in Zion. Hey! What that means is that for God to change the principle of his word, he has to destroy what he has been building from the very beginning. Ayo. That what he has been building since Jesus died, he has to change it because of you. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, any man can choose how to build, but you must understand that there's only one foundation. No other foundation can be laid except that which is laid. And that which is already laid is Christ Jesus. So to think outside of scripture is to try to build somewhere else. Why? Because you are offended at the principle that presently is. And normally the basis for offense is existing philosophy. It's existing philosophy. It's existing philosophy. And God will not change what was eternal to embrace your philosophy. One of my mentors, Dr. John Akpami, said, it is dangerous to argue with God and disastrous if you win the argument. You understand? That means you can win the argument too. At the end of the day, you can still go on to do what you want to do. Unfortunately, you are heading to disaster. So, listen to what scripture said, and I will have us pray. Wherefore, it is also contained in scripture, I lay a stone in Zion. He repeated again, that stone is elect and precious. And he that believes in that stone shall not be confounded. I'm back to my First Peter chapter 2, media. And he that this is verse 6. And he that believes in that stone shall not be confounded. I think Isaiah said, he that believes in that stone will not be hasty. He will not be quick to build any other way. Verse 7. And the last verse I promised you I was going to read. Unto you, therefore, which believe, that stone must be precious. Aye. Media, help me with that scripture. Unto you, therefore, who believe, that stone is what? See, make it your responsibility to make the word of God and its forgive my English, opinions precious in your sight. Verse 7. I've read verse 7. Unto you therefore who believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient. The stone which the builders disallowed. That means whether you build by that stone or not, you will find out in the end that that's the only building that will last. The stone that the builders disallowed is the chief of the corner. Next verse. Let's do verse 8. Give verse 8. So while to those who chose it, he's the cornerstone. To those who rejected it, he becomes a stone of stumbling. Finish it. That's what Pastor Michelle spoke to you about this morning. It becomes a rock of offense, even to them which stumble. Oh, I thought you would shout it. At the word. The offense is not normally with the preacher. It's at the word. You stumble at the word, being disobedient. The last statement is dangerous. It means that inside God's sovereignty, he made an appointment for certain people to be like that. But the choice, I'll say it again, inside the sovereignty of God, he already made room, knowing that some people would disobey the word. But the problem is that no prophecy carries a name. A friend will betray him with a kiss. He had 12 friends. I wish you heard me. The prophet didn't say, and Judas. Today, when they say betray, in fact, another word for betray in the world now. Oh, come on, believers. Another word for betrayal now is Judas. Right? Do you understand it? Unfortunately, when the prophet wrote about it, because the prophet already wrote that he'll be betrayed by a friend. When the prophet wrote it, there was no name attached to it. It was the refusal of Judas to yield to the promptings of the word that made him appointed unto this offense. Kai, lift up your hand with me and say to God, Lord, grant me the grace to humble myself at your word. Sing, Nisi. Just you pray. Say to God, grant me the grace to humble myself at your word. That you alone will be holy in my sight. Whatever philosophies I've held will not mean anything. Go ahead, listen.
All around the throne, sounds and lights surrounds. Angels, saints proclaim your reign, unending majesty. I'm standing here in awe, because nothing can come close. My silence and words are frail and in the way before the God who's Lord and King. Oh, you are holy. You are.
declare that many times our words and our silence are in the way. But today, Lord, we humble our hearts, speak. Let our souls just soak you in until we can believe fully all that you have to say to us. Be glorified in our midst. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Thank you for bearing with me. Please take your seats in God's presence. Amen. I truly, 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 truly want to thank God for my friend, my brother, and God's servant. He is God's sent man to the city of Gombe. Believe me. Would you help me celebrate Reverend Michelia? Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your love, for your friendship, for your strength. One of the things that Michelle has been to me specifically for this more than 10 years, I think this is close to 12, yeah, more than all. We're going to approach 13, 14 years together. For this more than 13, 14 years is that there's been no season of my trial that God did not establish him as an anchor of rest for me. And maybe I can dare to say there's no season of his trial that God did not establish me as an anchor for his rest. That mutuality, that's where covenant is caught. It's not mouth. When you say covenant, my covenant brother, it's not mouth. Covenant brothers are not formed on stage. You have to go through life together. Amen. So when I say that I'm in covenant with Reverend Michelle, believe me, I know what I'm saying. Praise God. And I thank God for his wife, Pastor Habiba, who has disappeared to do some other things. No, please celebrate Pastor Biba better. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. It's good to see you, Reverend Godobe. Thank you so much for being here, sir. And all other servants of God. Yes, he has been an amazing friend for this many years, sincerely. Hallelujah. Praise God. I was not going to take the liberty to do that, but Reverend Michelia has indicated, sincerely. Reverend Godobe has been there. I think that I met him about the same time I met Reverend Michelia. About the same time. Yes. The same mission that brought me that time was when I met Reverend Godobe. An amazing, amazing, amazing strength he's been. Let's not use the entire morning to appreciate everyone. Sincerely, every servant of God. Trust me, it's for me a great honor to stand in front of you. And wanted to say it in a very funny way, but I'm not sure all of you will laugh when I say it and display my ignorance. Amen. That was what I wanted to say. It's a great honor for me to stand in front of you and display my ignorance of the word of God. When you preach after Prophet Adam, you will know how much of the word of God you don't know. Amen. So you just stick with your style. That's the only way. Prophet Adam knows where everything is. And instead of saying First Peter, he'll say 1 Peter. What is 1 Peter? You have to find a reason to be angry with him for knowing that much scripture. Praise God. I said, for like last 3 weeks, I had the privilege of having him and Pastor Biasa 3 weeks ago. And then I had Dr. Dele Oshumakinde last week. Now, two of the people I love to preach with the most in the world, in the whole world, is Dr. Dele Oshumakinde and Prophet Adam. The reason is because they make my work very easy. I mean, I have several people I enjoy teaching with. But these two people, they challenge my knowledge of scripture. They force me to wake up. So when they are teaching, I follow them reciting the scriptures they are teaching. Do you understand it? I like things that challenge me. So I love to teach with them. When me and Dr. Dele sit across a table and we start teaching, you just be here. It will be scripture meeting scripture. Glory to God. Now, I said that just to honor God's servant, Prophet Adam Julius Kujo. Did you enjoy Prophet Adam's being around? Okay. Hallelujah. We will be borrowing him to you from Joss. He's my very good. He's also one person I confidently call my brother. Confidently. In fact, this season, in the last 4 weeks, we were scheduled to be in 4 meetings together. We have done 3. GCC is the 3rd one. We have one in 2 weeks in Lagos. Okay, then we have another one in February in Ghana. So he's my brother. And I enjoy teaching with him. He challenges my knowledge of scripture. Amen. And finally, she does not come for 360 every year. So maybe if you receive her properly this year, I can convince her to come with me every year. Amen. I came with my wife. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hey. How do we describe a girl that's indescribable? Praise God. I thank God for my wife. That's the best I can say. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my wife. Glory to God. And of course, you have met our entire team. I'm only doing this today because by the evening when I stand up, I'll look very rude. I'm not going to greet anybody. I'll just say, the Lord be with you. Thank you very much for this opportunity. And we preach the word of God. Is that okay? So this is the law of first mention. Please, everybody, hold your own. Hold your own tight. Because by time we take off, amen. Praise God. Thank you, guys. Nisi Dashe, Pastor Joseph Jack, Fali Helpona, Pastor Shegun Popola, Andrew Ogunyemi, and Zach Umoru. Amen. Amazing. Each one of these people is a principality on their own. That song we just sang, Nisi received it in what we call worship room. Amen. So it's not my song, because I know anything you people hear from God Life Assembly, you tell the whole world that is my song. It's almost putting me in trouble these days. Praise God. Come on. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right. So let's take off in the, okay, in the few minutes that we have. I didn't realize there was a timer somewhere. I was just enjoying myself. Amen. But in the few minutes that we have, what I want to establish with you is the law of liberty. All right? The law of liberty. We just read James 1, right? Give me James 1 from verse 23 again. Let's start from there. James 1, 23. Whoso looketh intently. Let me go there. Aha. From verse 22, please. Be doers of the word and not hearers of the word only, deceiving yourselves. But now, deceiving your own selves. Next verse. Let's go. For if any be the hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his Genesis face. All right? Prophet Adam just finished explaining that. Go. Is that correct? And actually, that the word Genesis there is the word Genesis. And the word Genesis there is not just beginning, it's original. So that means that when you look at the word of God, you don't see your present existence, you actually see your original face. Are you following me? He brought the illustration of the mirror. So let me use the illustration of the mirror and push it a little further. You realize that when you lift up a mirror, I think I've taught this here before. When you lift up a mirror, you are actually not seeing one image, you are seeing two. Is that correct? Okay. Two people say yes, sir. I'll try it again. Every time you look at a mirror, you're not seeing one image, you're seeing two. That means that there's an image that never leaves you, the image of the ideal you. So when I woke up this morning and I wore what I wore, there was something I expected to look like when I stood in front of the mirror. And the moment I stood in front of the mirror, what I did in front of the mirror was adjustments to catch up with the image I had in mind, the image I wanted to project. Do you understand me? That means that in the word of God is contained how you should look as against what you are looking like. That's the reason why the word of God has a tendency to offend you. The distance between what you look like and what you know you should look like many times is very far. And when you see that distance, your humanity tells you there's too much work. Hey. And you know, work is a vocabulary attached to the fallen nature. Let me come down, Beck. Are you following me? Because every time a believer sees distance, what they are thinking is work. And work is the language of the fallen nature. What we see every time we see distance is effort. The language of the supernatural nature is faith. So the ability to cover distance in the supernatural is believing, not attempting. Aye. So that abilities are triggered not by attempt, but by believing. Ayo, Yesu. Are you following me? Listen, God hates works. He hates works. The only works God accepts are the ones he instructs. Let me go to a scripture that has been troubling me lately. In Psalm 40, where the Bible says, sacrifices and burnt offerings have you not desired? Sacrifices and offerings have you not desired? Burnt offerings and offerings for sin have you not required? Sandwiched in between those two statements is my ear. Have you opened? Kai. GCC, is this 360? I'll try again. Sacrifices and offerings have you not desired? Burnt offerings and offerings for sin have you not required? That means for the believer, this is how we work. We are thinking that there should be some prescribed things that if you do, and that's the basis for the law. That's why I'm coming to you with the perfect law of liberty. Listen to this. We believe that there are certain things that when we do them, we become accepted before God. Unfortunately, sacrifices and offerings have you not desired. It does not please God. Burnt offerings and offerings for sin have you not required. He has not demanded it. Hey, media, I thought you would have reached there by now. That's Psalm 40, I believe, verse 6. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the books. I see. Sacrifice, thank you. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Now, locked in the religious basis of every Christian is that we now believe that there are certain things that if we do, God will be happy. And that thinking is what binds us in bondage. Look at this. Last statement, burnt offerings and sin offerings have you not required. But sandwiched in between those two statements is my ear has now opened. That means in God's ideal operation are not prescriptions, they are instructions. Hey! Is somebody alive this morning? In God's ideal operation are not prescriptions, they are instructions. And unfortunately, religion makes us feel accepted by prescriptions which God did not require or desire. But guess what? Disobedience to instructions feel like nothing to the average believer because nobody else was there when God instructed you. Take your food in pastor's house for the next 12 months. You see, it's not written in scripture, sir. I said again. That it's not written in scripture. This one that I just said. Take your food in pastor's house for the next 12 months. And I feel like I'm saying this one by the Spirit of God. This particular one. I think I said it by the Spirit of God. Somebody under the sound of my voice had that instruction. You did not keep up to it because of certain things you analyzed by your sight. Unfortunately, the things that please God are not prescriptions. You can't read scripture and find a prescription in the New Testament of what pleases God outside of obedience. And the obedience is not to a set of laws. Listen, let me say it so that for the avoidance of doubt and controversy, listen, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. I will go on to show you that walking after the flesh, according to Romans chapter 8, is trying to observe the law. So what scripture was saying is that you don't arrive at fulfilling the law by observing the law. Every time you observe the law, you trigger fleshly energy. And the moment you trigger fleshly energy, even if you end up observing the law, you don't glorify God. That's the righteousness that is like filthy rags. So when God looks at it, it looks like dirty rags before. It's time to kill religion. Because Jesus will not return until we have been set free. I can show you that one too in 1 Corinthians 15. That's the reason why many believers don't want to sustain the hard work of keeping an active relationship with the Holy Spirit. Your highest requirement, your highest work is to keep an active relationship with the Holy Spirit. And you do it, I thank God for what Prophet Adam described. You can see and feel your body, you can feel your soul, but you can't see, you can't feel your spirit. You respond to your spirit by a conviction that comes by the word of God. So if you don't know the word of God, you are not in touch with your spirit. Because Satan can multiply the feelings around you and by that deception take you away from your inheritance. We agreed yesterday that Satan does not have a place at the throne of God since the blood of Jesus went there. There's no longer an argument at the throne. Your status as far as divinity is concerned cannot change. The only thing that can make you lose your salvation is that you changed your mind on God. When Jesus died, God lost the ability to change his mind on man. In very simple terms, every time God wants to read a man, he looks at him through the lenses of Jesus. That's what in Jesus' name means. So the approval that you have before the throne of grace is imputed unto you, so that when you come, the voice is of Jacob, but the body is of Esau. I wish you heard me. So you enter an inheritance you do not deserve. Because when you stretch your hand, God is touching Jesus. But the voice is hearing. That's the voice of Chintok. What? So I'm forced to put upon Chintok the blessing of Jesus. Hey! Is anybody still alive? Hey! Lord help me. So, go back to James chapter 1. Don't follow me to travel. Anything I do, go back to James chapter 1 until I tell you I'm changing the scripture. Alright? So, verse 24. For beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway, what does he do? Please refer to prophet them. Consistently refer to scripture. Consistently. Consistently. Listen, let me give you the basis for going back to the word of God. Oh, he even gave you. Anything that causes fear, worry, doubt, all of those things don't come from God. Anything that at the moment that matter touches worry, fear, doubt, instantly run to the scripture. Are you following me? Listen, God will never condemnation, fear, doubt, guilt, shame. God never uses it. You see, there's a difference between the conviction of the spirit and condemnation. Are you following me? God never. God never uses them. Every time you feel any one of these things, run back to the scripture. Are you following me? God does not use the same things with Satan. He does not. He does not. So, next verse, which was where I was going to. The Bible says, but whosoever looketh intently. Look at this. But whosoever looketh into the what? Perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. He be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Please follow me because I need to move very fast now. Look at this. So the Bible says that if you look continually in the perfect law of liberty with the intent to do what you find. That means, let me say it in simple English. If I open the Bible and I find out that man was designed to walk on his head and not his feet, the first thing I should do without thinking is turn over. Are you following me? I turn over. Because the moment I attempt to turn over by believing the word of God, the abilities that are inside of me that were already captured. Because you see, one of the things I will take the time to establish in the evening is that you came furnished. Listen, and there are two dimensions of your furnishing. I'll take time to. It is creation and redemption. You see, redemption redeemed an original state. Are you following me? And by original state, I'm not talking about Adam. There was a man in God before Adam. And when we analyze that man in God, he couldn't have been created naked. You have to find the you that was Adam's age mate before God decided that Adam would come first. You need to realize that you were not an afterthought. That before the beginning began, you were. That the choice of when you appeared was done in the same day that Adam was chosen to come first. You were fully furnished. In fact, it was after your furnishing was finished at the level of creation that time was constructed so that you can find the best time to manifest what was furnished. Them that he foreknew, what did he know about them? It's the dimensions of himself that he deposited in them before they ever had a body. They say you before you had a body. You came furnished. Hey, if I can journey with you for you to agree, I hope you know that Jesus the Christ, the Son of the Living God, even though with a few cheat codes here and there, hear this, I said cheat, God cheated here and there. You can tell him I told you that. Jesus, the Son of God, did not come with the knowledge of his pre-existing self. He actually did not come to the earth with the knowledge of his Godship. They use the process of time as was with every child for him to agree first and foremost that he was the Son of God, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, and for him to agree that his earth suit was not his first existence, that in the beginning he was the Word and he was with God and he was God and that nothing was made without him. Do you know how preposterous it would have been for a man whose mother is known, whose date of birth we had, to tell us that he was one and the same with God when God was making all things? That's why the Jews sought to kill him every time. And if he did it in your day, you will kill him too. You came furnished. Let me say it to you again. Okay, I said we'll deal with that in the evening. There is a you that existed before time was conceived. So you, together with Adam and Moses and Elijah and Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and Esther, were poured on the same table before time was conceived. So that time was conceived to arrange you in the order in which God needed to manifest himself, not in age. So Adam is only older than you in the concept of time. That's why when you enter into eternity, you will not respect your great-grandfather. The order of honor in eternity will be according to the faithfulness to what God assigned you, not according to which year you appeared. So you can be a neighbor with Abraham. And when you people wake up in the morning, you greet as brothers. You see, a living dog is better than a dead lion in the sense that every living dog has the right to determine where they stay in eternity. The dead lion has already determined where he can stay. So the moment breath ceases from you, part of the opportunities that is taken from you is to determine an eternal place. So as long as you are alive, you and David can be neighbors in heaven. That means your works can match up the works of those you read about in the Bible. That's what I'm telling you. Why, yo? I'm attempting to set you free. I'm just hoping that I've not confused you a little more. Because not too many preachers will tell you this. That them that he foreknew, foreknowledge was at the same time for every breathed being. It is predestination that arranged us in order of time and arranged us in order of what we must fulfill in the context of our time. So I have come, Lord, I come in the volume of the books it is written concerning me. Listen to this. God, the master craftsman, the master summarizer, wrote the story of every man before the man showed up and made sure that the story was reflected in the Bible. So there's a book of your story before you started living. When you arrive at heaven, what they will reward is to what extent you conformed to what heaven expected. So God is not thinking of what to do with you right now. What you were supposed to do was finished. And you were furnished for it before you were released. So that no man, no living human being will stand before God with an excuse as to why they did not fulfill their purpose. See, if you have not heard so far, maybe I should start to pray that my time will finish on time. If you have not heard me so far. If you have heard me so far, let me hear you say amen. Amen. No. I didn't say amen so that you can encourage me. I want to be sure that something inside of your spirit is resonating. Because it means that there's something about me that must go outside of time. Hallelujah. And enter into eternity. And say to God, show me the me that you saw. Do you now understand what Paul was meaning when he said that I might take hold of the reason why he took hold of me? There was a me that he saw. So when Paul was saying that I may know him, it was insulting for Paul, who knew this much, to say that I may know him. But he said there's a reason why he apprehended me. There's a chintok he knew. That the chintok that now is. So listen to this. If you don't know that the chintok that he knew, even if you were standing in front of a mirror, adjustment becomes difficult. Because you need the image of the chintok that was. Hey, because this particular dressing is not a furnishing of clothes and jewelries. It's a furnishing of grace upon grace. Add to your faith. Add to virtue. Add to knowledge. So I need to see that chintok and see what he looks like. So every time I look into the word of God, I'm looking for man as God saw man, but I'm also looking for chintok as God determined chintok. Ayo. Of course, chintok cannot be shorter than the dream of man that God saw. Because every one of us is a borrowed breath from God. I did not say God borrowed you breath so that you can breathe and live. No. You are a dimension of God. When God breathed you out, he breathed a conscious dimension of himself so that you only exist because he exists. Because I live, you live also. Let's go. Let's push this. So hear me, saints, and strengthen this in your heart. Whoso looketh intently into the perfect law of liberty, himself not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that man shall be blessed in all his deeds. So Galatians chapter 5 verse 1, let's make a full movement to Galatians chapter 5, because many of the things I want to say today will be in Galatians chapter 5 and Galatians chapter 2, as I try to bring certain things to you. You came fully furnished. You came fully furnished. You came fully furnished. Let's say it in an annoying way. God cannot add to you. You came fully furnished. Everything seen and the fall broke has now been fixed in redemption. So you were taught fully furnished. Sin broke the nature that will permit that furnishing to reveal itself. God came in Christ Jesus and fixed that. So a man who lived after Christ Jesus has no reason to live in any less than what God wrote concerning him. No reason. No reason. But I'll show you why people live in less as we speak about perfect love, liberty. Galatians 5 verse 1. The Bible says what? Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And what he was calling the yoke of bondage, if you are a student of the book of Galatians, is the law. So what he was calling bondage here, please hear me, was not sin. At least not sin as you know it. What he was calling bondage here was the attempt to please God by observing the law of Moses. And understand that the Bible said in the New Testament that till today, when the law is read, the veil remains untaken before the eyes. Listen to this. That means in that context, the New Testament is not what is after John. Like prophet said, the New Testament is how you read the Bible. Because people still read what is written in the New Testament and they create law out of it. Sanctify me with your word. Your word is true. Fali will sing that song in the evening. Sanctify me with your word. Your word is true. Your word is yea and amen. Pierce through the soul, discerning the intents of my heart. Your word is yea and amen. Pierce through the soul, discerning the intents of my heart. One, your word is yea, your word is yea, and amen. Pierce through the soul, discerning the intents of my heart. Please hear me. So Paul said to the Galatians, in Galatians chapter 5, stand fast therefore. That means the real warfare is to insist that I'm free. Come on, come on, come on. It was Ephesians chapter 6 that Prophet Adam was quoting. Do you understand me? Hey, come on. Having done all to stand, stand there. So the reason why you wear the shield of faith, and he showed you every decoration that they gave you was the word of God, is that you are insisting that I am not the circumstance. I'm not even the way I acted. Hey, do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes your contradiction will be your action. Do you understand me? Life can press you by worry that you go around begging, even though the Bible says, I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed. When you come back from that action, there has to be a standing fast. And the idea of standing fast is undoing the effect of the fact that I just had to borrow from my friend. Because in that borrowing was something that was anti your nature. And if Satan takes advantage of that borrowing, he starts to inform you that you are what you are not. That's how you get up in church and say, I'm blessed, I'm rich. Maybe you borrowed Gary yesterday. Has anybody been confronted with that in church? What God is inviting you to is go back to the liberty that Christ has set you free and stand fast. Because in this kingdom, nothing takes effect until believing is complete. It didn't take God 75 to 100 to give Abraham a child. It took God 75 to 100 to bring Abraham to fully believing what he said. So distance between you and your miracle is not time, it's belief. It was 25 years of unculturing the former Abraham. Rev, do I have some time? Look at this. Hear this. If you go to the genealogy, if you go to the genealogy of Noah, sir, in scripture, you will find out that from Noah, you will find out that from Shem, Shem didn't have a child until he was 110 years old. That means the moment God spoke to Noah about the fact that he wanted to end one generation, sir, Noah's children, all of them, none of them could give birth. All of them became barren. Because God wanted to stop reckoning with anything that looks like the earth he wanted to destroy. God would rather wait until they came out of the ark. So while they possibly were struggling with the thought that they were barren, Genesis 10, are you alive? Hey, are you alive? Is it 10 or 11, sir? 11, I beg you. 11, 10, put it on the board. While they would have been struggling with the thought, Pastor Biba, that they were barren, look at, we're saying God is going to sweep the world. but we're not giving birth to children. Because the Bible told you in very clear terms that there were only 8 people that entered the ark. And as at the time Noah found grace in the sight of God, obviously he had not married. Sorry, forgive me. Because all his children, I will show you now. Shem was his oldest, Abi. Eh? And Shem was born 110 years before the flood. And God spoke to Noah 120 years before the flood. That means while Noah was preparing the ark, God gave him children. But his children, God did not give children to. Let's go. Verse 10. And these are generations of Shem. Shem was 10. And these are generations of Shem. Shem was how much? 100 years old, and he begat Arphaxad. When? So the first time Shem gave birth to a child was after the flood. It's not Shem I want to show you, it's Abraham. So it did not take, I said it did not take God 25 years to give Abraham a child. It took God 25 years to bring Abraham to believing, to undoing the cultures, the natural cultures around him. Let's go. Now, if you read from there, and Shem lived after, you know what you're going to do for me, media? You will skip one verse. So we did 10, we'll do 12, we'll do 40. It's written in that order, what I'm looking for. So let's go, 12. 12. And begat 13. And Arphaxad lived after he begat Salah. Wait. Go back. 12. I missed it. Arphaxad lived how much? 35 years old and begat. So did you notice that this guy was 100 when he begat? But this one is 35 when he begat. Two verses down. 14. And Salah lived and begat. Oh, so this one gave birth to his first child when he was how old? 30. Next one. 16. And Eber lived how long? 430 years and begat. 430 years. So he was 34 years. That means in that time, the average years to give birth, to start giving birth, is between 28 and 35. Let's read on. Two more verses. Let's go. And Peleg lived how much? 30 years and begat what? Ru. Next verse. Two verses. And Ru lived 32 years and begat. Let's go. Next verse. And Serug lived and begat 24. Nahor, you remember Nahor? The father of Terah, you remember, right? Look at this. And Nahor lived how long? So Nahor was 29 years when he gave birth to Terah, the father of Abraham. Something's about to change. Two verses down, 26. And Terah lived. Something's wrong. An order just got broken. That means that if you met Terah, Terah looked barren to you. But we will read afterwards that, sir, can I use you? That the journey that ended up with Abraham started with Terah. Terah had left his father's house to travel to Canaan, the same destination that God was going to take Abraham to. But in Terah's case, for some reason, God already indicated the destination. Are you alive?
Yes, sir.
The moment Terah was chosen for that journey, to separate out of the lineage of Shem, what God will take as a lineage of promise, God also stopped him from developing seed. Because only what is fruitful can multiply. That means there has to be a type, sir, that God is seeing. And when God looks at Terah and becomes hopeful that that type will be seen in Terah, he decides to stop Terah from giving birth until that type is revealed in Terah, so that what he gives birth to will be according to a new order. Believers. That means that some of the things you are calling barrenness is the increased hope of heaven over you. So while you are thinking that there's an ancestral cause that is making that you're not getting a job, there's an order of taking jobs that God wants to establish with you. The moment he started to see your devotion and your pursuit, he said to himself, I can establish an order of taking jobs using this one. Then he decides that everything you do like the normal natural man to get a job does not produce. Guess what? More believers become frustrated than they become inquisitive. What that is supposed to trigger is inquiry. Lord, what did you choose me for that my husband is not coming on time? Because, sir, in the technology of the new creation cannot be cursed. The only thing that can suspend the advancement of any prosperity in a new creation's life is the jealousy of God. Follow me. We are doing Abraham. I hope somebody's getting blessed. I risked my time because what I wanted to show you today, stand fast in the liberty. If I don't finish it, I will do it in the evening. The war now is to insist that I am what the word of God says I am. I'm nothing else. Even if my situations continually contradict it, my confessions must remain steady until my situations change. Listen, that means to be a believer who lives in faith, you can never describe yourself by your circumstances. And if you insist on it, the circumstances will catch up with your confession. And listen, let me say a warning in that. The moment you start to insist that you are not your circumstances, the only weapon Satan has is to multiply the heat around your circumstances. So understand that Satan's resistance is to insist on putting what you call reality before your eyes. I'm not poor, I am rich. Then they'll slash your salary. I'm rich, you lose your job. The idea is that I will show you in Romans chapter, since we have gone to Abraham, you must hope against hope. Do you understand me? You must believe. There must be something about you that is unquestionably unshaken. I am chosen of God. I am elect. I am precious. I am blessed. Even if a habit is holding on to me, I am not that habit. I will confess my way out of it. I came fully furnished. If I don't show you this morning, I'll show you in the evening. I will not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ died in vain. You must insist on it. Because it is in the process of that insistence that God is producing the man that will carry that seed. Please take me back. Look at this. Antela took Abraham's son. Okay, you have gone to 11:31, but we'll go back to top. Antela took Abraham's son and Lot, Haran's, and Sarah, his daughter. Oh, this was when Abraham left. The Bible said concerning Terah that this was when Terah left, right? Okay, good. And they went for go back. That scripture I just removed. Give me back to me. No. Not this one. You have gone far. Hey. What was it? 31. And Terah took Abraham his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, and his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them to all of the Chaldeans to go into the. And when they came to Haran, what? Where were they going? Where did they stop? Let me ask you why. Because there was nothing physically in Canaan that was not in Haran. You will find that Terah had prospered. He was blessed. He had many goods. Listen. Confirm it with Terah when you get to heaven. So logic said to him, there's nothing I'm looking for in Canaan that I don't have in Haran. The moment God saw that Terah has decided that the journey to Canaan was not going to finish, God turned to Abraham and suspended his ability to give birth. So you see that every barren person in this lineage was in the eye of the hope of God. It was the hope of God that suspended their ability to give birth. Because as at the time verse 31 was speaking, Sarai was not Abraham's wife. Hey, she was his sister-in-law. Are you following me? She was not yet Abraham's wife. Now, listen, I can push this further to show you why Abraham had to marry Sarah. It was the same reason why he said to Eliezer of Damascus, put your hand in between my thighs and swear to me that you will not take a wife for Isaac, my son, out of this Canaanite woman. That you will go back to my father's house. The reason is because Abraham had honor for the journey that Terah began. So if you found a girl in this house, she has traveled in her mind from here to here. So you are better off with a girl who has begun her journey with God than a girl who you have to teach everything. So Abraham didn't marry his sister for incest's sake. He married her because she's been cultured in the journeys that my father has. And it is a journey of faith into God. That's why Rebecca could steward the prophecy of Jacob. She was not one of the Canaanitish women. Oh, is somebody hearing me? I'm saying to you, you came fully furnished. So that even what you consider unfortunate circumstances around your life are waiting for your realization of the true nature of God that is within you. So some of you cannot give birth now because you will inform your children wrongly. God is waiting for you to speed up your increase in light. Because when you now arrive at light, God can say, yes, the type of children I want from him, he can bring now. So there are certain misfortunes that are the blessing of devotion. Can I say it again? Oh, I like the way some people look. You know me by now. When I come, I don't talk to everybody. I talk to those who God has chosen to hear me. And you can choose to be the chosen. That you turn around, you suddenly look at a situation in your life. You can tell yourself, nah, I'm not under a curse. No, I'm not. Things are not working, not because I'm under a curse. God is waiting for me to arrive at a realization. So I am the one delaying myself. If I know what God wants me to know, he will release that. Do you understand what I said at all? Anna was not barren. God saw her devotion and knew that I can raise a priest that will make way for my king out of this woman. She has what it takes to raise. So while she was considering the competition with Peninnah, God suspended her giving birth. The day she entered the temple and said, what kind of madness is this? God needs a priest. God, give me a child, I'll give you a priest. Instantly, her womb opened. She did not only give birth to Samuel, she gave birth to 4 children after. So that you know that the problem was not barrenness. There was a divine hand. That hand that kept Terah to 70 until Terah decided this journey is no longer worth it. Then God looked and said, what's the best I can carry? I will not go and start again. Let me carry what has journeyed with him.
Yes, sir.
And the toughest thing for an Abraham who knew that his father's journey started by faith is come out of your father's house. And when God came to Abraham, he changed the dynamics. He said, to a land I'll show you. God would have simply said, Abraham, come out and continue your father's journey. But God realized that there was something in the makeup of Terah that was also in the makeup of Abraham that he needed to break. That if I give you the picture of a destination, if you arrive at Satan's mimicking of that picture, you will settle. So these are the kingdoms of this world. I will give them to you if you will bow down and worship me. Because your ultimate destination is the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. So Satan is saying to you, see something that looks like your promise so that you can settle. That's why Abraham too would have settled with Ishmael. Except that God had mercy on his journey and stirred up trouble between Sarah and Hagar. Ah! And that day, Abraham was shouting, what wahala is this? Is this woman that gave me this? His concubine, no? What did God say to him? He said, hear Sarah, your wife. He said, because while you are thinking legally, I'm thinking according to my agenda. Because legally, Sarah was wrong. Aish. But in the context of divine agenda, the son of the bondwoman cannot share the inheritance with the son of the free. That's where Galatians chapter 4 was coming from. It was at the end of declaring that we are not of the bondwoman. We are of Jerusalem that is free without bondage. Then he said to you in Galatians chapter 5 verse 1, stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. And do not be entangled any longer to the yoke of slavery. Please follow me. So he met Abraham and said to him, follow me to a land I will show you. Do you realize that even when Abraham arrived at Canaan, he didn't feel like he arrived at the promise? The Bible says Abraham was now looking for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That was, if we follow that story, it was ultimately found in David. That's why God established an everlasting kingdom after the order of David. So that you will see that in the conquest list that God gave to Moses as he passed on to Joshua, which was a conquest list that God gave to Abraham, the last nation consistently spoken about is the Jebusites. And David was the one who finally subdued the Jebusites in 2 Samuel chapter 5. That means that the process of taking possession of the promised land did not finish until David. And it was after he captured the Jebusites, it was their seat that he converted to his seat of government. That's what became Jerusalem. That's where he brought out Zion from. That's the first day God agreed that as Zion is in heaven, so Zion is on earth. It's that day that the prayer of Jesus was curated. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Listen, that prayer is kingdom prayer, that the dominion of God, like it is in heaven, will find expression on earth by certain men. Those men are the people I came for in this conference. The men who will accept that they are furnished, that the journey that remains is for their mind to catch up with who they were before time began and agree with everything scripture said concerning them. That's actually where you are set. That's what's called the perfect law of liberty. Let me finish it like this. So God meets Abraham and says to him, oh boy, follow me to a land I'll show you, and I'll make you a great nation. So that was the day God told him that the plan is that I'm trying to make a nation of people who live according to divine standard. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. By you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So listen to this. God was targeting converting all families on earth to obedience. And God patiently was willing to choose one man. If I want to capture the earth, sirs, I will not create one Adam. I will create a factory for the production of men. Our impatience makes that we create everything in factories. We never put the ability to multiply in what we created. No man trusts his invention with its ability to multiply. No car can make a car. No aeroplane can give birth to an aeroplane. There's nothing man made that has the power to multiply itself. God, in his patience, puts the power of multiplication in what he created. So that in the journey of what he created will arrive at agreeing with him in mind. Then what that thing gives birth to will be thinking like God and what gave birth to it. It's one of the reconciliations that must happen before Jesus returns. That our children will look at us and look at Jesus and see no difference. Ah! Not every generation will struggle to enter into truth. There's a blessed generation that will be born into truth. The only thing they know is truth, because the environment they found is truth. They will not need to struggle with earthly cultures because their parents paid their price. So they were giving birth to, they looked at their parents looked like Jesus. And then I'll take you to John 14. Have you seen the Father? You have not seen me. When he finished that argument, he said, I said to you, I and the Father are one. He said, if you don't believe me because I said it, believe me for the works you see. Immediately after, he said, and he that believes in me, the works that I do and greater works shall he do. So if works is the basis for believing, and the one who believes in me is doing greater works, it means that to see me, see the one who believes in me, to see the Father, see me. So that unity that Jesus prayed for in John 17, that as I am one with you, that they may be one in us. That sense of unity is not an agreement as in an organization. It is that everything we see in Jesus becomes reflected in the men who follow him. That process of believing is what is called liberty. When we come in the evening, I will show you out of Galatians chapter 2. That the Bible did not tell you that you will arrive by faith in Jesus. But he told you will arrive by the faith of Jesus. So really your liberty is to connect with what Jesus believes inside of you. Not what you believe. So actually your assignment is to believe in the faith of. To have faith in the faith of the Son of God. Because everything the Son of God inspires inside of you is bigger than you. So you need faith in what he has already faith. Hey, when Jesus had faith in you to establish an assignment through you, he had finished the assignment before he inspired it. So if Jesus sat inside of you, sir, and decided by you, what's your city, sir? Meriguri. You came from Jalingo. He decided that inside of you, I want to build. Now, normally his dreams are not natural, but I want to use something natural so that you can relate with it. I want to build a 20,000 seater auditorium in Jalingo that will become a center of fellowship for my body. In Jalingo. Listen, at that point, when Jesus sits inside of you and believes that you are the one who will do it, when he shows it to you, you need faith in the faith of. So 20,000 seater capacity is not your faith, it's his faith. What you need faith for is to believe in what he has already proposed. Now, when faith in the faith of is not present, you frustrate grace. Prophet Adam told you, grace is the creator, faith is the accessor. So, what happens is that the world never sees in substance what God finished in the spirit. Now, faith is substance. It brings to the tangible things that are hoped for. Makes evidence the things that are not seen. So the privilege of the man of faith is to take things from the invisible realm and establish them in a visible realm. And every time God wants something established in visible realm, there's a purpose God needs to fulfill. So to frustrate the grace of God is that God has arrived at the place where he needs to fulfill that purpose. But the building that he needs to fulfill that purpose has not been built. Because the man he inspired to build it did not have faith in the faith of. I'll explain better in the evening. You have to have faith in the faith of. Listen. So how many cities are perishing? Whose saviors have refused to have faith in the faith of the Son of God? You will arrive at knowing that in the faith of the Son of God, there's nothing the Son of God can do that you cannot execute. Said, and the works that I do, and much more shall they do. Then he told you why. Because a priestly office has been established. Because I go unto my Father. I explained it like this. And I'll see that. I'll continue from here in the evening. Those who are not here now, I don't know how we'll help them. I hope that they are watching. Listen to this. Let your heart hold on to it. This is the reason why you cannot believe any less than what redemption says you are. If you do, the ability to believe what God wants to do through you, that is only manifest in times and in seasons as ordained by God, cannot come out. And what will now happen is that a generation will perish because you refuse to believe what was written concerning you. So if it was written that it is by you, because if you look at the workings of the gospel, it saved entire cities in entire generations. So if God decided that you are the salvation of Damaturu, and you walked into Damaturu in obedience to the voice of God and established a church that only seats 10 people, and you found a carnal explanation for why you are only seating 10 people, and you settled there till you die, you will arrive at finding out that you frustrated the grace of God. So a city suffered under the hand of tyrants because you refused to have faith in the faith of. When there's no faith in the faith of, what happens is that everything Jesus inspires, you will cut to your size. Everything he inspires inside of you, you will cut down to the size of what you can handle. That's why God hates works. Works is a limiter. Please return to your seats. I will continue in the evening. If I find you, I'll still use you so that the example will become consistent. Thank you, sir. So hear me, saints. I came to say to you, you came fully furnished. The day you find liberty, you will access the furnishings that came together with you. Then you will operate at the level of who God saw before he released you, not at the present level you are operating. And many times in God's attempt to call your attention to who he wanted you to be, he, by what the Bible calls the jealousy of God, James chapter 4, don't you know that the spirit that he causes to dwell in you lusts to envy? Do you realize that that verse of scripture came from James chapter 1? You have not because you ask not. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss to spend it upon your lust. He went on to tell you, God opposes the pride of your heart, but he gives grace when you humble yourself. He said, because the spirit of God that lives inside of you, every time your lust, every time your personal desire, your fallen nature rises up to build according to its level, the jealousy of God, because he knows the capacity of what you can handle, rises up to destroy what you are trying to build so that he can call your attention. You are bigger than this. I submit to you very humbly, sincerely, servants of God, and I speak including myself. Our ministries have been limited significantly because we know that in our internal struggles, we have not arrived at the liberty of believing that we are who God says we are. When you arrive there, then you have arrived at liberty. What we really need to do in this conference is arrive at the liberty that gives us the leverage to believe that if God says, I will take my city and wash it in the cleansing blood and bring it out in a new form, I must believe that by my hand, a new city is coming out of the city where God placed me. Are you following me? Listen, part of the things you find in liberty that is in Christ Jesus is the freedom to dream. One of my friends said, to dream is free. What you cannot do in the natural, the least you want to do is dream it. If you are too poor to have meat in your food, the highest liberty you have is to lie down in the night and dream that you are in a party. From the moment you close your eyes by 10:30, be in that party till you wake up by 6:30. That way you wake up excited that you ate what you don't have. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? Listen, if liberty does not do anything to you, let it give you the taste of who you were born to be. Please lift up your hand with me and let us agree with God. Say, just say to God, I agree with you. What you are birthing inside of me, I agree with you. Every mindset that is offended at the word of God, that fights the possibilities that the word wants to birth, Lord, I join together with you to come against that mindset so that only Jesus will be glorified. I agree with you, Lord. I agree with you.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.